10 agents at the place when I'm gone. Telling all the reasons why to go to hell is so long. I see the moon singing, who the hell is you? Oh, you're coming through, holding up your ministry.
Welcome to episode 300 of Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Bennett. Justin, you forgot that this is episode 300.
No, I didn't forget. I was actually thinking about it for the majority of today, and then I took I didn't even take a nap. I legitimately fell asleep at 6, 7 o'clock p.m. Monday night. And I've been doing this. Like, the last week, it's been bad. It's been like 8, 9, 10 p.m. I've been falling asleep. I asked Twitter for my medical diagnosis and help in terms of what's wrong with me. I've gotten some funny answers, including, I think this is my favorite one so far, about it's a long recovery from that 40-yard dash that I did back in April. So I'm still recovering from it. And I'm exhausted by my longing for Shania Twain and my desire to pronounce words correctly. That was also one of my favorite ones, too. But yes, episode 300. Happy episode 300. Bobby Skinner, congratulations to you. Congratulations to Danny King. I guess congratulations to me. It's been a fun ride so far.
It's a beautiful ride, as Dewey Cox once said.
Love that movie.
That's a great song. That song is actually good at the end. A Beautiful yes. Ride by Dewey Cox. Episode 300. It's technically not the 300th episode, though. We've had either 4 or 5 episodes that weren't numbered.
Yeah.
We've had 5. The first one, which is like the intro to Giants Nation podcast.
A little trailer, yeah.
Yeah, it was simply just to get us on all the podcast apps before we started releasing episodes. And then on our vacation week, for some reason, mine and Danny's first vacation week on the 4th of July, we didn't number them. So we had our 4th of July mailbag, a Rich Soybert interview, and a Brandon Jacobs interview. And I put them all out in one day and didn't number them. And then there was one other one, which isn't as fun to talk about.
No.
Episode 300, pretty cool. On this episode, it's a pretty inconsequential episode, to be honest, for episode 300. We're actually doing our way too early look at 2022 free agency. But we also have an interview with Mickey Bruckner, who trains Daniel Jones. And they train every day, which is pretty cool, too. I didn't realize it was that often. So a short conversation with him at the end, plus giant stories. But Justin, how are you?
Yeah, you know, besides me falling asleep way too early. And now I will open it up. I will open up to the world. Let me know what's wrong with me. What's wrong with me? Am I just, people have been saying I'm getting old. I am. You called me an old person, which is true. But besides that, had a rough week, but I'm glad I'm talking Giants with you, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good. The Nets won. I am a little, speaking of sleep, I'm so aggravated. Why would they put Lakers Suns at 10:30? Why? LeBron's on the brink of elimination, and they've got that game at 10:30. Anyways, let's talk about Giants football, Justin.
Yeah.
Actually, first, this episode was brought to you by Tom Reardon. Very quickly, Justin, who's Tom? Quick as you can.
Tom Reardon went to patreon.com/talkinggiants for $2 a month. He is supporting us, but he also is going to be getting some magnets in the mail. He gets to watch the shows as we record them live. He is entered into a raffle 2 times a month for a free shirt, and that means that you're just an overall great guy, and you're one of our favorite people, but also not, because we love everybody. Patreon.com/talkinggiants.
I went off on a Patreon member a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you saw that, Justin.
Yeah, I did.
It was deserved. All right, so we're doing the way too early look at 2022 free agency, and it's not to be like, all right, this is our free agency plan, and this is what the Giants. It's just kind of, let's look at some guys who can be, you know, like, what positions could we be looking at a big name? What positions could we, you know, be looking at mid-tier players? It's just kind of, I think it's a fun exercise for the offseason besides answering the same questions of, do you think Daniel Jones is going to take a jump forward? So we're trying to hit some different subjects. Which we're doing our 53-man roster on Tuesday, which, as much as that sounds boring, it's actually a very exciting exercise, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, usually I get bored by some cliche off-season interesting things, like I'm a little bored by the free agency preview today. I'm excited to kind of talk about to see where Bobby maybe wants to put some big money, or maybe when we want to go a little conservative and see if we kind of match up there. But I actually was the one that kind of like, hey, I think we should do a pretty early on. I know we usually do it anyway, but a pretty early on 53-man roster prediction, because this roster is so kind of cluttered with a lot of names that we know we recognize, and you know, some names that we kind of thought may be a part of the team are definitely going to be cut.
Yeah. Yep. But we'll do that on Tuesday. Today we're doing the way too early look at free agency. And what we do is I'm going to ask Justin, you got anybody at this position that you want to talk about? And if he does. Last year I asked you about quarterback and halfback first, tailback, and you didn't have any and I didn't have any. Justin, do you have a quarterback or tailback that you, like, caught your eye as a free agent for next year?
No, not one.
You know, backup QBs. We have Mike Glennon, so it's like he's a perfectly serviceable backup QB. And then with tailback, like we expect Devontae Booker to be back. I like Deion Lewis as a free agency signing last year, but he was on a 1-year deal. Where this year, it's like Devontae Booker's on that 2-year deal. We expect Booker to be around after this year unless he stinks it up. So no QBs or halfbacks, but we might have a... Do you have a running back?
No, the only one that really piques my interest, just because I think I'm waiting for that 1 year where he actually really does something, is Matt Breida. And that's just because he's really fast. But outside of that, no. There's no running back that I'm like, oh, I gotta have him.
Well, not all running backs are tailbacks. Some of them are fullbacks.
Good for you.
Justin, do you know who the last player drafted by Dave Gellman for Carolina was?
No, I do not.
Alex Arma, fullback for the Panthers, 6'2", 255 pounds, it'd be 28. He was the last pick of the Dave Gettleman era, Carolina. He's a good fullback. Like, I've watched a Panther game, let me just watch Alex Arma when he's in there. He blows dudes up, and he has a decent little bit of receiving ability. I really like Alex Arma. I think he's in like that top five fullback area. I went through every fullback, but it's like when I watch him, like, I really do like Alex Arma, and I'm a big believer of having a true fullback on your roster. Right now we have Elijah Penny and Cullen Gillespie. I think Elijah Penny will win that battle, but they both those guys are on 1-year deal, so maybe Dave Gellman goes back into the Alex Arma well. So that was interesting. Tight end.
No, I mean, Evan
Ingram,
I, that's...
is an expiring contract. Rudolph, you know, say things don't go good year one, it could be a position we look at. Even if it's a stopgap.
No, I think there's a better chance of them bringing back Evan Ingram than them not bringing back Evan Ingram.
But if Evan Ingram has an injury-riddled year, which he's had before, it could be like, we're just not doing this anymore.
Right.
Now, this guy's not the most injury-free guy in the world. In fact, he's probably been just as bad as Evan Ingram. He was picked one spot before Evan Ingram. O.J. Howard from the Bucks. Mm. They've got, I don't know how much longer Gronk wants to play, but they've got Cameron Brate, who's a good one. 27 years old, Alabama connection there with Joe Judge. 14 career touchdowns in 2019, where he played 14 games. He had 34 catches, 459 yards, touchdown. I could see him being like that 1-year flyer guy. You know, like the way they brought in, you know, now O.J. Howard will, even if he doesn't deserve it, will get more than, you know, that Kelvin Benjamin, you know, not guaranteed anything. Contract. But I can see a world where O.J. Howard gets $2.1 million a year, you know, on a 1-year deal or something. And I could see the Giants, you know, possibly going to that well. So I have O.J. Howard on it if they, you know, like I said, Ingram doesn't work out. Rudolph doesn't work out. Even if Rudolph does work out, they may move on from Evan Ingram and bring in O.J. Howard.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have drafted O.J. Howard? Do you think Jerry Reese would have drafted O.J. Howard if he was there with Evan Ingram?
No, because I think towards the latter end of Reese's tenure, it was a little bit more about the gadget fun players rather than... Because Howard's definitely more of a conventional tight end. I mean, Howard's still, I think, a fun player, but...
I love David Njoku because I was just... He was a Miami guy, and I didn't I didn't do the pretend scouting back then, but... But I love David Njoku. That was who I was hoping for at the time. Who I think I might rather have than Evan Ingram, to be honest, even though he's fallen down the depth chart. Wide receiver. Now, Wide receiver is always a fun position to look at in free agency, but we just added Kenny Galladay. You got, you know, Pettis and Ross on 1 year deals. You know, Slayton's still on his contract. Shep, they might be moving on from Shep. You drafted Kadarius Toney. So I didn't really want to like bring any names up, but one, to appease our friend Tim Coffey, and two, you know, he's on a 1 year deal. I Tim Patrick from Denver. 6'4", 212 pounds. He's going to be 28 years old, 51 catches, 740 yards, 6 touchdowns in 15 games. I mean, listen, Denver has a ton of wide receivers. He's not, last year he was a restricted free agent. This year he's unrestricted, so I do see him moving on from Denver. If there was one, like, hey, we just want to, you know, maybe Slayton doesn't, you know, look good and they want to pair another skyscraper on the outside with Kenny Galladay, Tim Patrick could be that guy.
Yeah, and even just looking at this wide receiver class, you know, this is all just what is projected to be, and, you know, some of these guys, you know, they could be franchise tagged again, like an Allen Robinson, he could be tagged again, which, even though I think that's unlikely, but, you know, so much could obviously change from now until next offseason. But even just looking at the free agents that are available, that are projected to be available next offseason, it's not that great. You know, Allen Robinson, I think he's the cream of the crop, and I think, you know, he's going to be unrestricted if he doesn't get anything worked out with Chicago. Chris Godwin, you know, Tampa Bay, you think that they're going to find a way. Tom Brady will continue to reduce his salary, and Chris Godwin will probably be a Tampa Bay Buck. Davante Adams, we don't know what's going to happen there. But then after that, Bobby, I mean, we're talking Will Fuller, who has his problems. You know, Robbie Anderson, who, you know, is pretty okay. Jamison Crowder, okay. T.Y. Hilton's getting a little older. Juju, okay. So just going down, you know, and Emmanuel Sanders, A.J. Green. So that's like the ranking of receivers that are kind of left. After those initial three of Allen Robinson, Chris Godwin, Davante Adams, I'm glad the Giants kind of splurged a little bit this offseason. Obviously, they got the best guy that hit the open market, but I'm glad if there was an offseason that the Giants were going to splurge and kind of get a wide receiver, it was last offseason when you had Corey Davis, when you had who signed with Washington. And
I listened to our ours last year. Curtis Samuel, Corey Davis were both two guys. We actually didn't mention Kenny Galladay. I was kind of unfamiliar with Kenny Galladay at this time last year, just as a football fan. And I remember when the Galladay trade rumor at the deadline came up, I was like, let me go watch this guy. And I watched him. I was like, oh my gosh. It's like him and Allen Robinson are 1A, 1B. I wish I would have been a little more excited about him at this time last year, just so I could, you know, like, be like, look at me. I like Kenny Galladay for a long time. But I didn't like him for a long time.
Me no like him long time. And I'm not liking this 2022 free agency class in terms of it being top heavy for a very long time. But some names that I do have down. I do have Tim Patrick down. Go up and get it. Go up and get the football deep down the field. Four verts, Bobby. Zay Jones is a guy that I just liked when he was young. So why not? He would basically be the same thing as bring on John Ross. Is like, hey, you haven't produced at the NFL level so far, so just bring on Zay Jones.
Remember when Zay Jones kinda, like, freaked out in a hotel and like got naked and was like trying to kill his brother or something?
Was that an actual thing that happened?
I'm probably mischaracterizing it a little bit, but it was a wild story, and I think it was like covered in, like, it was a crazy story, I think, from like 2018.
Then maybe I don't want him. Rashad Perriman, who I wanted this past offseason, but didn't, once I looked into the advanced numbers, Rashad Perriman didn't do a lot of the things that I thought he did well, but he's still a name that I like. He could still do something.
Rashad Perriman will be getting 1 year deals for the rest of his life just because he ran like a 4.28 40 coming out of UCF.
And then two guys who I actually think are better than the first three that I named, Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller.
Kirk is an interesting case. I don't know what, you know, with Arizona adding their guys, Anthony Miller. You can see Chicago maybe moving on. They keep Allen Robinson. They got Mooney. Maybe they add something else in the draft or something. So,
yeah.
It could be that. You forgot one. Matthew Slater is going to be 36 years old. Hey, I would rather have Matthew Slater over Nate Ebner.
Oh, this is the special teams guy from New England. Yeah. No, that's all right.
I would rather that's all right. Than Nate Ebner.
That's all right.
All right, offense. We're going to go offensive tackle first. I have two names for offensive tackle, one team. Now, let's say Matt Parrott doesn't work out this year, which is a very, you know, like that very real, that's a very real situation that could happen is Matt Parrott doesn't work out. Two guys, one team, You can't sign both of them, New Orleans Saints, especially with all the cap situation. You guys have been in trouble. Taron Armstead will be 30, and Ryan Ramczyk, 28, who the Giants probably should have drafted in 2017 instead of Evan Engram. Both those guys are good tackles. Armstead might be like a top five tackle in the game. Like, he is a beast out there, man. Like, you watch Taron Armstead highlights, it's like him and Trent Williams have the best offensive line highlights. And his like pressure numbers are really good. That would be a hog molly worth getting. You get Nate Solder's ass off the books and slide in Taron Armstead, someone that, who's actually good, not someone who just benefited from being in the New England system playing with Tom Brady. Taron Armstead or Ryan Ramczyk. But I think Taron Armstead I could see being the one who is able to walk because he is like that big name left tackle, one, but he's going to be 30. And I could see the Saints be like, all right, we're going to pick Ramczyk. Hopefully they don't re-sign both of them. But Taron Armstead might be the biggest free agent in 2022.
So where would he go and play?
For the Giants.
Well, I'm talking about on the offensive line.
It would depend how Andrew Thomas looked at left tackle this year. If Andrew Thomas just like was a true blue beast at left tackle, it's like, no, you don't move the young guy. Let Armstead play right tackle. But if Thomas looks good, but he has some struggles, you switch Thomas over to right tackle. He can do it. He's played it before. And though you're running to the right as a real thing, and Thomas is a mauler in the run game, so you could do that. But it would depend on how Thomas would make that decision for us.
Yeah, Andrew Thomas being good enough for us to say confidently he is our left tackle in 2022. That is a take right now that is just implanted in my brain, and there's no other reality and option in my brain right now.
I'm very confident in AT though. Like I think there's, it's not just like up second year get better. It's like we saw him year one get better.
Yeah.
And a lot of it, I mean, it is crazy that when the whole Judge Colombo thing went down, that they were arguing about something, and then all of a sudden, Andrew Thomas stopped doing things and played a ton better. Had one bad game versus Arizona, which wasn't like if that was his one bad game of the year, we wouldn't talk about it. You know what I'm saying? It was just kind of like it was a bad game towards the end. It was more bad on the right side than it was the left side for that game.
Yeah.
Do you have any tackles? And if you don't, do you have any guys on the inside?
No, I do not have any tackles because, like I said, I'm kind of full of ignorance, woefully ignorant with the fact that Matt Parrott and Andrew Thomas are going to take care of business this year. So if we need another swing tackle after we cut Nate Solder, I am all for that. Not really for a big name, but I do have three big names for the inside. Two that I have bolded in my notes, but three big names overall. And I don't really even want to say that they're big. Because Brandon Sheriff's obviously the biggest name that I think is going to be a free agent. But Andy, if he hits the open market, he's getting bananas money. But I can't see Washington letting him go. I feel like he's like a Washington for life kind of guy. But I think this 2022 free agency class is pretty rich with offensive alignment. So I think if there's a time to kind of splurge in it, if the Giants are going to have that money, and if there is maybe one guy that they want to put all the eggs in the basket for, I think this offensive line, it's pretty rich for this upcoming offseason. So the first guy that I have is Wyatt Teller. Wyatt Teller from Cleveland. He had an insane AV, which is approximate value, which Pro Football Reference does calculate that for offensive linemen. He had an AV of 9. Now, you may be, if you're familiar with the metric, you're like, oh, that's not that good. You really want to maybe get an AV above 10 for your offensive lineman. But he only played 11 games. So he missed a little bit more than a quarter of the season. And he was on pace for pretty much like a Pro Bowl, you know, nearing All-Pro type of year. Now, something that all three of these guys have in common that I have on my list for interior offensive linemen, they're coming from very good systems. So, you know, are the guys making the system good or is the system helping them out? I certainly think, you know, Wyatt Teller, him being a guard, if the Giants, him being a guard for Cleveland, and he's been a guard for Cleveland for the last two seasons, 2019, but Kevin Stefanski, obviously, he was just brand new in 2020. He was drafted in 2018 by the Buffalo Bills in the fifth round. But if the Giants want to bring somebody in that can run a little bit more outside zone, if that's kind of like the development that we want to bring Saquon Barkley along, we can do that. Next guy that I have in terms of interior offensive line is Connor Williams from Zay Dallas.
Jones was high on K2, I think. Danny Behan said high on synthetic weed. So I think Zay Jones was doing K2, which can mess a dude up.
It can. Next guy I have from Dallas Cowboys is Connor Williams. He's been a left guard, been a left guard since 2018. He was drafted in the second round in the 2018 draft.
Jason Garrett.
And he's been, and that's the Jason Garrett connection. So he's been pretty much starting since he's got there. This past season, he had an AV of 8, which is not too bad, pretty solid, in 16 games started. And he's been a staple, you know, Dallas offensive line. It's been fluctuating the last couple years. It's still been relatively decent, but he's been a staple there, and he hasn't really missed a lot of time the last couple years. He did miss 5 games in 2019, but played all 16 games in 2020, which was a challenging year. Last guy that I have is Austin Corbett from the Los Angeles
traded
Rams.
From the Browns. He was actually supposed to be the replacement for Kevin Zeitler, and he just wasn't good, but I think he got better.
Yeah, no, he definitely did. He got a little bit better. There's a reason why I have him third. He got a little bit better. So those are three guys to kind of keep an eye out for interior offensive line. Because I do think if there's one spot the Giants on the offensive line they're going to address in free agency, it would be interior offensive line instead of drafting another young guy.
How about we just sign all 5 of them? No. Anything else on offense?
No, I'm good.
I only have 3 defensive players. How many defensive players do you have?
I actually have a lot. I have 1 fun player, and then I have 5 other players.
Do you have Chandler Jones for edge?
I do. No, I don't. He's too expensive.
Going to be 32, but if there's one position you want to spend money on, it would be Chandler Jones. 32 years old, obviously was injured last year, but in 2019 he had 19 sacks. Patrick Graham is his position coach in New England, and obviously the Joe Judge connection. He would be a real deal pass rusher, like real deal. If he has a good year this year, freaking bring me Chandler Jones. I don't care how much money it costs. I don't care how irresponsible it is. Get me Chandler Jones.
I didn't realize that Chandler Jones he's approaching his mid-30s.
Yeah, he'll be 32 this time next. When Which I say bizarre. Will be, it's like when free agency, like, This 1 year from today, that's how old he'll be. So he'll be 32 this time next year.
Is it crazy to say that if he kind of continues and he has a good final few years and a few year push, is it crazy to say that he's going to be a Hall of Famer?
I mean, he had almost 80 sacks in like a 4 year span.
Yeah, it's nuts. You want to know what's crazy though? He only has I think he only has 2 years of 25 plus QB hits. But he has like a string of 4 years where, like you said, he has 80 sacks. It's actually insane.
Him and Marcus Golden, the best pass rushing duo in the NFL.
Yeah.
Chandler Jones, how about that?
He only played 5 games last year, so it was actually Hassan Reddick and Marcus Golden that were one of the two of the best. And add Chandler Jones to that mix with Golden and, well, no, Hassan Reddick is not in.
He is. He signed a 1 year deal, I think.
With Carolina.
I thought he didn't go back to Arizona?
Nope.
Oh, wow. Well, good for you, Marcus Golden.
No, I'm talking about Hassan Reddick.
So who's the third guy then?
Well, it would have been if the Cardinals brought back.
So right now it's just Chandler Jones and Marcus Golden.
Correct. Okay. And then next on my list, Bobby Skinner, is Hassan Reddick.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Marcus Golden.
No. I wish that's not realistically going to happen. I think Marcus Golden's very salty about his time and how his time ended in New York, as he should be. Got like 30% of the snaps, and they screwed him over contract-wise, and they didn't even play him. So he should be salty about it. But Hassan Reddick, he's my guy. Now, a lot of Giants fans, they were talking about him because he was a free agent this past offseason, so he got a 1 year deal with Carolina. A lot of Giants fans were talking about him. This, you know, is like, oh, can this be a guy that we possibly go after? Because, you know, he was one of the edge rushers that just didn't get signed for a hot sec. So can this be a guy that we can afford? Now, Reddick is good. He's a good pass rusher. He has experience dropping back into coverage too. You know, he's a giant killer because he had 5 sacks the game that we played him. But that was 5 of his 12.5 sacks came in one game. 7 of his 34 QB pressures came in one game. So you don't want to take all that away from him. You know, he had a really good game. You should be celebrated for having a good game. But let's see what he does this year in Carolina. You know, if he can, you know, maybe if he doesn't even get like a 10, if he has like an 8-9 sack season, right? Doesn't break double digits, but he somehow gets 20 QB hits. Because last year in 2020, he had 16 QB hits. You know, if you break 20 QB hits, I'm kind of saying, hey, let's bring Hassan Reddick in. He seems like a player that Joe Judge would really like and a guy that would kind of fit here. So Hassan Reddick is one of my first defensive players.
Picture that Chad Slade just posted on Instagram. This is kind of an epic picture.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
You got Slade, Jones, Parrott, Hernandez, Gates, Saquon, and Andrew Thomas.
Oh, I love it.
That might be the picture of the offseason.
I got a comment.
I'm going to comment from my Percy.
Percy.
Chad Slade doesn't get a lot of love because he just doesn't play. Oh, wow. His account is private. That sucks. I have to do it from Talking Giants. He is like best friend. Like he's like the glue guy of that offensive line.
It's oh,
like,
yeah.
Everyone's the Chad Slade guy on that offensive line.
Doesn't get enough credit for that. Big Chad Slade fans, Talking Giants.
But it's like we want Kyle Murphy to like kind of beat him out, which sucks. He got some reps last year, and then remember they took him out at the goal line because they wanted to score.
Tough.
Picture of the offseason. Oh, tough. He just accepted my request. How about that?
Oh.
I mean, I'm sure they Chad Slade, you know, I never.
That is a great picture. The background's even like faded out. Yeah, that's a great picture.
I'm gonna have to tweet it, even though LPG already tweeted it. Yeah. But it's like, you know what, LPG got it from Chad Slade.
Daniel Jones looks very happy. It's a shame for those who are not looking at the picture with us. All right, can I go into my next guy while you do all this?
I'm going to try my best to listen to you while I post this.
That's okay. So I'm gonna talk about a linebacker. How about that? I'm going past the edge rushers. John Bostic. Now, we did get a Washington edge rusher slash linebacker this past offseason, Ryan Anderson, so it's not a foreign concept. Now, I think John Bostic is another giant killer. For whatever reason, there's been the last couple of years whenever we've been watching a Washington game, and John Bostic was just everywhere. He was all over the field for Washington, and he's kind of been a late bloomer in his career. He does have a Patriots connection in 2015. So if Joe Judge, if he was in New England in 2015, that is a Patriots connection right there. He was only there for 1 year, though. It's been the last couple of years where really he has kind of bloomed. In 2017 with Indy, he had 97 tackles. 2018, he had 73. And then the last 2 years, he's had 105, 118 respectively. So he's really kind of come into his form, which before that, he didn't really have any kind of great, fantastic season. So John Bostic, he's been in the league since 2013. You know, he's approaching age, 31. He'll be 31 by the time that he's a free agent in 2022. If we want to upgrade interior linebacker too, or even look for Blake Martinez's replacement, if this is going to happen, because his deal is going to be expiring somewhat soon, John Bostic can be kind of a good stop plug guy to fit that role. And we can take him from Washington. I like him.
So you've had two division. Do you have any Eagles on this list?
I do not. No.
Oh. I'm actually really excited to get the Giants story because I want to talk about this picture now and the offensive line. But we got to get through this though. I have
three more names.
I have two more names.
Okay.
This guy, another guy who Patrick Graham was his position coach in New England, but it was a different position than Chandler Jones. You know who it is?
No.
Dante Hightower.
I also have Dante Hightower, so take him off my list.
He will be 32 years old, 6'3", 260. Obviously opted out of 2020, so a little fresh. And again, I mean, he's been like the backbone of that New England defense for a while. I don't think, like, will Bill Belichick bring him back on a bigger deal at the age of 32 when he's shown that he's not going to do that? Plus, he already paid a bunch of free agents this past offseason. It could be a guy that the Giants give him like a big two, like you give him like a Kyle Rudolph type contract, but you know, probably a little more juice on it depending on how Hightower plays.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dante Hightower would be like a perfect win now, why not, let's bring in the veteran type of move, where hopefully the Giants are at this point next offseason where, you know, maybe we made the playoffs this year, right? You know, made the playoffs this year, won the East, maybe made a wild card. We're looking to make some final little upgrades to, you know, just improve our, you know, and put some finite touches on this roster. And I think Dante Hightower's interior linebacker too, bringing him in would be a nice little touch. So I'm for it. He was also on my list. A guy that I have on my list, last linebacker, is Jayon Brown from Tennessee. You know, we showed that we're, you know, we're willing to maybe even sign some guys without maybe any kind of sort of connections to this coaching staff this offseason. So that's great. So I don't have to go constantly searching for players that have a connection to the coaching staff. However, that usually does help. He went to UCLA, but he's been in the league since 2017. So I don't think there's any connections. But the last couple of years, he's been a pretty good pass rusher. You know, in 2018, he had 6 sacks, 10 QB hits, which is kind of insane. He had a sack in 2019, sack in 2020, had about 105 tackles in 2019, which was his best year, 14 games in 2020, played 10 games. So this is a guy the last couple of years that has not played 16 games. So depending on how he does in 2021, if he doesn't put together a full 16-game campaign, you know, hey, there's something in the water in Tennessee. These guys can't stay healthy. If he can't finish a full 16-game campaign, maybe you get him on the cheap as a free agent. And hopefully he can stay healthy for us. So he's got some talent, pretty athletic, got some pass rusher moves, has some coverage ability too. Jayon Brown from Tennessee.
Bam.
Linebacker.
Micah Kaiser is a free agent. I'm not going to talk about him. Do you know Jamal Adams is going to be, like, they haven't, I'm surprised they haven't extended him yet. All they gave up for him.
I think he'll be a really good edge rusher for the Giants if we consider him.
I know. I know we're not going to consider him. Jabril Peppers is a free agent, which seeing his name on that list gets, I don't think he's going to get re-signed. I hate to say it, but
how crazy do you think people will go if Evan Engram gets re-signed? Not even.
But it's not correlated.
Well, no, I'm just talking about fans. This fan, think as a fan here, Bobby, because that's what we do. How crazy would it be if Evan Engram is number one signed before Jabril Peppers, and number two is signed over Jabril Peppers, like just in general?
I don't want the world to happen. Burn.
I don't want it to happen either.
I don't want it to happen. All right, can we do Giants stories?
Devin McCourty, we should also sign him.
Nah, we had our chance this year. We didn't do it.
That was Jason.
I get them Devin, so freaking mixed up. It's so annoying.
Devin McCourty is the guy that I actually worked out with. Jason, I did not work out with. Devin, you know, he's going to be like 35. So why not bring safety? Bring him in. 35 years old. Giant stories.
Let me do a last checkup on Instagram stories. Make sure.
Wait, actually, before I do Giant stories, should I read something or no?
Yeah, go ahead. Read it.
Yeah. So, Bobby Skinner, playoff basketball is still going strong. And what that means is that DraftKings Sportsbook. It's not only my favorite sportsbook, but also it's America's top-rated sportsbook. I love using DraftKings Sportsbook. It is easy to navigate. It has plenty of instructions for new bettors and nearly limitless ways to get in on all the action. My friends and family have been loving DraftKings Sportsbook. They've been loving using the promo code JOHNBOY that helps support us whenever you use it, so thank you for doing that. And I know you will, too. Listen to this great offer. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $1 $100 in site credits. That's right. Pick any basketball team that is still in contention. Sorry. The Knicks are not. The Knicks are not back.
Leave them alone.
The Knicks are not back anymore. I guess we have finally reached the point where the Knicks are not back.
Good news is that they can come back. They can be back again next year.
They can be back again. So
hopefully they can all overachieve again.
I want this same energy. I better feel the same energy of Giants are back, just like Knicks were back. Okay, I want the same energy happening this year. All right?
But can we be actually good, though?
Oh, wow, that's tough.
All right, I'm done. No more Knicks slander for another, like, 10 months, okay? I just had to get a little bit out.
Pick any basketball team that is still in contention. So, like, the Nets or the Hawks. Bet $1, and if that team wins, you win $100 in site credits. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds, promotions on baseball, hockey, and so much more all week long. It's safe, it's secure, it's reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JOHNBOY when you sign up to turn $1 $100 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game, and if they do, you will claim $100 in free credits. That's promo code JOHNBOY for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 years older. New Jersey, Indiana, Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Wager paid out in site credits. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT.
Giant stories. Play the music.
Brrr.
Corey Clement was rapping. I think he's actually a rapper. So we got two rappers, Kadarius Toney and Corey Clement. Which, by the way, Kadarius Toney signed his contract, but that's not really news. Carter Coffin was paddleboarding Efedi Odenegbo. He bought some bonsai trees, and he named them Kusama, Gento, Makoto, and then Monica Lewinsky and Dumbo. Nick Gates, Jonathan Harrison, Shane Lemieux, Chad Slade, Brett Heggie, and Jake Burton. They were partying on the Jersey Shore. Jonathan Harrison, it seems like he kind of is, I think he's kind of like a uniter on that offensive line. You know, I know Chad Slade is too, but he's there. Leonard Williams was boat living, and he was at the Nets game. Lorenzo Carter was doing fireworks. Scary! Saquon Barkley was at the Indianapolis 500. Austin Johnson was playing Top Golf. And Daniel Jones and Kyle Rudolph, while not on their Instagram stories, were at the Knicks game and got a very much louder applause than Zach Wilson.
Wow.
So, almost Friday, Will Hernandez started it, but I think we have really built on to it. We're like, Nick Gates is now posting almost Fridays. Chad Slade is posting on, like, I think we, you know, Will started it, but we're kind of giving it like, all right, man, let's get this thing rolling a little bit. I think maybe I'm just giving myself a lot more credit than should be.
No. I only posted one today. I only posted that one. It probably is my favorite hit from the 2020 season of Dexter Lawrence just absolutely just putting a Rams running back on his ass. It was him and Marcus Golden, but it was mainly Dexter Lawrence's big hit. And the TV broadcast got a bad angle on it, but they got a good enough angle so you can actually see the big hit. It was a good tackle for Dexter Lawrence. Bobby?
Seems like there's going to be a lot bigger attendance at OTAs this time around than there was last week.
I would love that. LPG tweeted out something about Kenny, like a cryptic Kenny Golladay tweet.
The irrelevant Matt Lombardo said that he's there.
Good. Great. Well, I love that. It just feels good. Got the boys back together.
Yeah, I feel like you should like OTAs. Like, it's not the hardest work in the world. Like, you get to, you know, get to be around, you know, just the guys. Saquon was doing he was at the Indy 500 for some type of sponsor. How about Elio Castroneves, man? Getting his fourth. I mean, I remember him winning it in like 2002, I think. Like 2001 and 2002, I think he won back-to-back Indy 500s.
And I have a question.
Go for it.
What if you are lactose intolerant? Do they still make you drink the
you
milk?
You have to. Here's something. I'm not lactose intolerant. I've drank one glass of milk in my entire life.
I'm not a milk guy either.
I'm not a milk guy. But I would chug that milk there. It doesn't matter if you have to deal with it. You get them maybe you get them if you're lactose intolerant, we're like the 1% milk, like will it still mess you up?
I don't know. Let us
know. Or just get lactose intolerant pills or whatever that just counterbalance.
Lactose intolerant
right away.
Pills? Wait. Yeah, sure.
So dude, but Indy 500 is always a great event. That was a fun end of that race.
Corey Clement and Kadarius Toney, Young Jocka.
I've tried to listen to Kadarius Toney's raps, and they suck.
I don't know what you're talking about. I enjoy it. Do we think there's going to be a collab of some sort?
No. I don't. Efedi Odenegbo is the personality of the team. He's got a big personality. I like Efedi.
What was he doing?
He bought some bonsai trees. And just his Instagram's like...
Wait. I wrote down trees. I missed the name. If you were to just tell all these Instagram stories, this should actually be something that we do one day. I should guess what, like, the player, and I would have guessed it would be Gillespie or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah, the hip. So the fullback, Colin Gillespie, like, the Earth Day joke, like, is more than, should I tell
it's
this?
More than just
should I tell
a
this
joke.
Story on the podcast?
I think you already have told it before.
Well, basically, one of our listeners, Liam Sheehan, on Earth Day was like, why would I want to celebrate Earth Day? The Earth sucks. Talking Giants versus the world. And so I sent that to Colin, and I was like, man, I like Earth Day, but I'm conflicted here. And he was like, I feel bad for that person. It's like, it's a joke. Colin Gillespie is like, he's pretty hippie with like all the Earth Day stuff, which is good for him. You know, I like it. It's initiative.
I mean, the planet is dying.
You're dying.
Not to get dark and morbid.
You're dying.
I am. I'm falling asleep at at 8 p.m. every night.
Someone said lactose tolerant pills. And then Christopher Thompson in the chat said nobody is actually lactose intolerant, which is...
Wow. It's a myth.
It may not sit with you well, but it does like will it send you into shock like a bee sting if you're allergic to bees? Pollen intolerant. It's like, yeah, does it screw you up? Do you have allergies? Yeah, but it's like you're not intolerant. Like you can tolerate it.
And I'm sure they got room in the fire suits to drop a little dookie.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Lorenzo Carter, fireworks. Your thoughts?
I can't even remember if they were big or what. But hey, have fun. Fireworks are fun. I tweeted about no Giants players being arrested, and then there was a good quote tweet, which, you know, it did hurt a little bit. But someone said, as long as they stay away from the three Fs, you're good. Florida, fireworks, and firearms. Which is like, that felt a little personal.
Those are some of your favorite. It's like, you know, these are a few of my favorite things from The Sound of Music. Yeah. Your version is when the firearm goes off, when the fireworks go off, when I'm in Florida.
Oh, man. You need to come down here for like the 4th of July week.
I do?
Yep. The offensive line. I love the way this. I hope this offensive line is good because they are friends and they gel together and they hang out. And they all seem like cool. Like, I hope these guys are good, man. I hope we have the same feeling of them as we do, you know, the McKenzie, Snee, O'Hara, Soybeard, and Deal. I really do. Because I like this group of guys. There's not a... I'm not a big Nate Solder. Nate Solder's not hanging out with the guys. He's not. He's living his best. Like, he's being he's probably a better person than all of them. And that's not a shot at them. It's just, you know, speaking of who Nate Solder is. But it's like, these group of guys, man, I really do like them. Like, I think I'd enjoy spending time with them.
Yeah, I mean, at least four of them. You know, AT, Gates, Lemieux, and Parrott. They have the potential to be here for the next few years. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Hernandez. You know, rooting for you maybe to get that contract extension if you play well enough this year. But four of them, you know, they have the chance to be here for a couple of years. Like that kind of... You know, like that core group that, you know, we know when we loved did, you know, like they did in the late 2000s. So let's rock and roll.
Chad Slade beats out Zach Fulton.
Wow. That'd be fun. Yeah.
Not because I think he's better, just because, like, you know, he's a glue guy for that offense.
He's a glue guy. Yeah.
All right, Justin, I did a quick interview with Daniel Jones trainer, Mickey Bruckner. And I realized as the interview started, that remember the whole, like, Eli has a new throwing coach who, you know, has worked with a lot of top baseball players and stuff?
That was Leiter. Yeah. Al Leiter was not his, I don't know, Al Leiter, Jack Leiter, Jack Leiter's son. Al Leiter is the former Major League Baseball pitcher, so it's Al Leiter's trainer. Yes, I remember that was a story.
That's who this is, and so I asked a question and we got to it, so I won't spoil it all. Not the most intriguing interview, but it's some good information if you like it. It's short, like 12, 13 minutes. So here is Mickey Bruckner.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa.
All right. We now welcome on to the program. He's a trainer. He's the founder of Annex Sports, Mickey Bruckner. He's working with Daniel Jones, which is the main reason we're having him on. Mickey, first of all, thanks for coming on. Before we get into Daniel Jones, what is Annex Sports? You know, obviously it's a training facility. Is it, you know, just pro athletes to high school athletes? Where is it? Like, what is the deal with Annex Sports?
Yeah, so I started the Annex back in 2006. I'm a former collegiate baseball player. Had some injuries that stopped my career. And I've always kind of worked almost exclusively with overhead throwing athletes. And so over the years, I've just built like a system as to which I'm dealing with, you know, pitchers, throwers, quarterbacks, things like that. So the Annex has been around since 2006. We're in Chatham, New Jersey. We work pretty much almost with all, you know, amateur and professional athletes. We do some adult fitness and things like that. But my main thing day to day is working with guys like Daniel and some of our higher level athletes. But it was basically something that I fell into love with as an athlete and just kind of continue to do my work with these guys. So.
Right. How did you get hooked up with Daniel? You know, we didn't know last year he spent time with Anthony Boone with QB Country and obviously the Duke connection there. How did you get hooked up with Daniel?
Yeah, so I worked with Daniel last year before quarantine for about a month, and then he ended up moving back down to North Carolina. But I met Daniel through Eli Manning. So I trained Eli in his last year of football. So he came to me more or less just trying to build arm strength and working on things specifically based on building arm strength. And so Eli had some good success with the stuff we had done and felt like it really helped him out. So obviously he made the recommendation to Daniel to work with me once he kind of jumped on board with the Giants. I actually know through also Daniel and Eli, David Morris, who founded the QB Country, like you referred to earlier. I don't know Anthony too well. We haven't, you know, he's in North Carolina. I'm in Jersey, but I also do some work with them as well. And I manage their New Jersey location. So it's kind of a big roundabout way, but really it was ultimately through Eli. So
now that you, you mention it now, so now we are familiar, more familiar with you than we thought. Because I remember the Eli, you know, the last year getting the, you know, the new trainer. So
yeah,
so that's cool that you know, it's running through that.
Yeah.
Now I mentioned Anthony last year, and with talking with him, the thing is they worked on a ton of stuff, mechanics, but there was, you know, a lot of fumbles in Daniel Jones' rookie year, and Daniel went to him and was like, "Do everything you can. Always constantly trying to swat that ball out of my hand." Obviously you're working on everything, but what is like that main thing that Daniel or you spotted and are trying to work on and improve from year two to year three?
Yeah. So by trade, I'm a strength coach, right? So I look at biomechanics, and I certainly specialize with throwers and in terms of how we're building an efficient passer, building arm strength, you know, velocity, all that type of stuff. So I look at biomechanics and how we can improve an athlete in the way they move and better strategies that they have to achieve certain positions so that, you know, they can throw a ball harder and be more efficient with their arm path. But I also look at from a movement standpoint in the pocket. You know, I also kind of dissect like what are athletes doing? What can they do better? Now, obviously, when you're working with professional athletes, they're already performing at a very high level. That's why they're there, right? But my job is to say, okay, here are the things that you do very well. What's our lowest hanging fruit here? What can we improve upon, be it a strength and stability standpoint, a mobility standpoint, just a, you know, a motor standpoint. So with Daniel, it's more or less like he had some of those lower extremity injuries last year that kind of ended his season. So he's kind of working through some of that stuff and kind of building back some strength there in his lower half, especially at the foot and ankle. And really from a pocket movement standpoint, he just needs, you know, we're just working on building better proficiency with being able to absorb force and redistribute force, whether that's, you know, evading pass rush, you know, hitting the steps in his drops and then evading pass rush, or just, you know, going into like a quick reset and delivering a ball. You know, those things kind of go hand in hand with their ability to do those things from a biomechanical and force standpoint. So really our goal this year was trying to say, you know, I assessed him when he came back and, you know, based on what I had spoken to him about, I'm like, this is what I think from my perspective, I can help you out most with and what I think you need to be working on just to stay healthy and build performance. So
off platform throws seems to be like the new, like, you know, buzzword when it comes to QBs and QBs coming out. And yep. We've seen like, you know, you see Zach Wilson who, you know, just went to the Jets and you know, the Patrick Mahomes, is that something specifically you guys work on? Like, is, you know, the rolling to the left or like, you know, throwing off of different platforms?
Well, I think it's certainly been a bigger part of the game now. And I think whether you're, you know, obviously we're trying to build some continuity with his drops and making sure like that's consistent. But, you know, a lot of part of the game now is also, like you said, off platform throws. And really the mechanics is, I think a lot of times when you think of arm strength, people are focusing more exactly what's happening at the arm. But a lot of times, generally speaking, if you're trying to build arm strength, it's a lot of stuff that has to happen to self-organize and create good movement strategies in order to build power by the time you get to ball release. So, you know, some of the stuff we do is more like med ball work and things that's creating rotational power, whether he's in, you know, a simple like three-step drop or if he's throwing on the run or things like that. But I think the principles that we're trying to drive arm strength is more or less being able to drive force from the ground up, you know, whether that's on the run or, you know, a simple, you know, in the pocket pass. I think those things, again, they all go hand in hand. So
you mentioned the lower body injuries. obviously I'm not going to ask you, you know, exactly how, but is that something you guys like can get better at and seen results at, or is it, you know, from a fan's view and me not knowing all about the stuff, it just looked like, he's just kind of had some injuries, but is that something like you guys work on specifically, like preventing injuries?
Yeah. So when we first started back in early to like mid-March, it was really just building a foundation. And the key is we want to try to get these athletes as resilient as possible. So repeated exposure to some of these really challenging, stressful movements. So the foundation was really like, let's create an opportunity where he can learn how to decelerate his weight, learn how to like build a better braking system, you know, because that was where he was struggling most. And then as you start to build proficiency there, then you can start working on like planting and cutting and doing the, and it's really just the drills that we choose really kind of feed him into the right position and create good positions, good patterns, like so that by the time he gets out on the field, that things are moving and operating in a way that he's efficient, he's resilient, you know, he's done it 100 times and he's not going to break down. And I think that's the biggest thing is like making sure that their body has been put through some of these stressors so that it's the first time they're not experiencing it is on the field. They've been through it several times and it's just building, you know, overall work capacity and resiliency. So
how often are you guys working right now? I know they just started OTAs last week and the next, you know, few weeks they'll be doing that. How often are you guys working in New Jersey?
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff I'm doing with him is supplementary to the stuff that he's already doing at the facility. We're working on arm strength and more of his overall just movement and speed and agility stuff. But for the most part, we're training almost every day, except weekends, of course. But, you know, my job is to kind of give him what he's not getting and essentially give him some of that extra stuff that he's looking to do and maybe help with some of these things that he's trying to get better at. So
besides just, you know, the regular training stuff, you're with him every day. So you're talking, how does he feel about his, you know, his growth? Because after that first year with obviously, you know, there's a coaching change, a lot of you people, including myself, were very high in his rookie season. You had turnovers and stuff like that, but you know, a good aggressive young QB is going to have that. And then in year two, where you did see improvements in a lot of stuff, but you also didn't get the big numbers and the offense wasn't great. How does he feel about like that progression from year one to year two and working to year three?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing I've noticed with him is he's trying to get reps with his guys, like his team members. And I think he's just trying to build a rapport with them so that, you know, collectively they can all come together and compete as a team. I think from a personal standpoint, I think what makes him unique and any high competitors, they're always looking at ways of improving. And that's really like, that's why we've developed a good relationship is, you know, he comes to me and he's like, here's the things I want to work on. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll look at you and figure out like where we can make some improvements. But for the most part, I think the biggest thing I've seen with him from the perspective that you're coming from is more or less like trying to get more reps and more continuity with his teammates. And I think that's where he feels like stepping up more as a leader and fulfilling that role has been important to him. So.
Right. Does he ever talk about like the New York pressure? Cause I feel for him because he Cutcliffe talked about it when, you know, he got booed on his draft night and Cutcliffe said to him like, this is good, man, because you don't get no honeymoon. You need to go to work right away. Does he ever like, you know, talk about like, you know, it kind of sucks that it's people, even when he plays, you know, when there's good games, there's always like a faction or people looking to pick because that is kind of what sells and drives clicks now. And it's just kind of like the New York way. I can't stand it. So I'm sure it annoys him a little bit too.
I mean, if it did, it wouldn't show. Like he's got pretty thick skin. I mean, he's never complained to me once about it. For him, it's always focused on like, how can I get better? Always getting better every day. He's never had any negative things to say about the challenges that come with playing in New York, which there are many. So, you know, he's pretty good about it.
It is crazy, man. And I admire him for the way he attacks the day and doesn't let things phase him where it's like, you know, I would melt under that. And I most people would. And, you know, I always, you know, you worked with Eli and I like Philip Rivers. I think he's a Hall of Famer. But I was like, you know how much more scrutiny that guy would have on his career if he, you know, had to walk in those same footsteps of Eli Manning.
But I think that's what makes them able to do what they do. You know, that there's like they're a unique personality and character trait that allows them to just tune all that stuff out. And that, again, you know, you talked about Eli, like nobody did that better than him. Like he had nothing, like his headspace was only focusing on the task at hand. So
yeah, and you see it, the resiliency, you know, off the field and then on the field. You know, you watch him. It's rare to find a quarterback who is willing to, you know, stare down a hit and deliver a throw like Daniel, like Eli. And it's like, how do you not flinch at that and stuff? So I like him, and I think he's built for it. And I'm looking forward to year three. Yeah. Mickey, I appreciate you joining us. Let us know if you ever need anything. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Bobby. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
No holds bad. He took me in the low post and won, but I think we had on the varsity.
Thank you for coming on the show, Mickey Bruckner. Fun stuff. Just such fun freaking stuff. So this is the end of episode 300. We'll be back on Tuesday. Media will be at OTAs when you're listening to this. So I'm sure we'll have some talking points from that. And then we're going to do our 53-man roster. Not prediction, what we would do. And then maybe we'll talk about a little bit of prediction. Like, I'm not going to put Nate Ebner on what I want to do, but I would predict Nate Ebner's on it. So there's that. This is the end of episode 300. Any plans for the weekend, Justin?
Yes. My best friend, who graduated from college last year, we are having his graduation party on Saturday. There will be plenty of adult beverages involved that I will not be drinking because I don't drink.
Very nice. Very nice. Hopefully get some good weather, man. I know everyone in the Northeast was complaining that you guys don't have good weather for Memorial Day weekend. It was great here, not to brag. But it's looking like it's going to get some rain on Friday and Saturday. But you know what? Maybe Sunday we can get out to the beach.
Oh my God. It's going to be in the 90s this weekend in New Jersey.
Really? It's going to be hotter there than it is in Florida. The high for this weekend is 86, but that's because it's going to be super cloudy.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. All right. So it's going to be beautiful and hot in New Jersey. So we have the exact dichotomy opposites this weekend. So there you go.
All right, well, enjoy your guys' weekend. 1 week closer to Giants football.
Woo.
Enjoy some NBA playoffs. Enjoy some NHL playoffs. Enjoy whatever you want to this weekend. Let's be real. Enjoy yourselves. And we'll see you back here on Tuesday. But until then, let's go Big Blue.